Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
The horror and grief. So many Americans at the heinous assassination of Charlie Kirk have felt. Charlie was a giant of his generation, a champion of liberty, and an inspiration to millions and millions of people. Our prayers are with his wonderful wife, Eric, and his beautiful children. Fantastic people they are. We miss him greatly, yet I have no doubt that Charlie's voice and the courage he put into the hearts of countless people, especially young people, will live on. I'm pleased to announce that I will soon be awarding Charlie Kirk posthumously the Presidential Medal of Freedom. The date of the ceremony will be announced, and I can only guarantee you one thing, that we will have a very big crowd.
President Trump speaking today from the Pentagon acknowledgement, the memorial for September 11th. Welcome into the Annie Fry Show. The last time I was able to speak to you, we had to send it to breaking news coverage as we watched and waited to see what happened to Charlie Kirk. Now, I'll tell you, when we're putting together a show every day is kind of its own thing. We wait for the news cycle to come through. But September 11th is a little bit different than other days. September 11th, you got a pin in that day because there's a responsibility for people like me and there's a responsibility for people like you to put that pin on your calendar on September 11th. And nobody listening right now needs to be told that. But I have an expectation that when you turn into 97.1, that you're going to connect hearts and minds with the folks here, and we're going to do that with you over a day like September 11th. It was a transformative day for our country. There's no denying that. And I'm raising children who ask me questions each year. They kind of sit down and they look at me and they're like, what was that like? It's a history story for them. It's something they've been told about. It's something they've seen in videos on the internet. I can tell that my children understand there is an emotion attached to this day that exceeds the emotions attached to others. So we plan a show a little bit ahead of time. We're aware that this day is coming. And yesterday, all those plans end up changing. When we signed off yesterday at 3 o'clock, they had just come out with the news that Charlie Kirk at the time essentially was in critical condition. And it was about 30 minutes later when they pronounced him dead. So we have to ask ourselves, what now? I think that's the question that most of us have. And I talk about fear in the sense of an emotional experience. Fear exists the most and the strongest when we are faced with unknown territory. When we can't really look back on precedent and precedent and precedent to say, well, this happened, and so now naturally that and that and that will happen. I don't know what happens next. There was a period of time while we were watching, waiting to find out what happened to Charlie, where you're kind of flooded with all of the thoughts, the considerations of what one man can do, what one man has done. And, you know, you boil it all down to what one man is. It's very eye-opening, breathtaking, to look at the magnitude of who Charlie Kirk was, to understand what kind of influence he's had on the world. I'm not talking American politics. I'm talking the world at 31 years of age. And to know in that moment when we're watching what happens, when we get to see the absolute manifestation of evil unfold right in front of our eyes in a horrific way. It's unbelievable to witness something like that, to know the gravity of who Charlie Kirk has been in this world, and to understand that at the end, it really boils down to his wife and his children. His wife and his children were what he championed here on Earth, just short of one other thing, his faith. There was a Bible verse that was posted yesterday. Jack Posobiec, who very close personal friends with Charlie Kirk, posted the "Be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." And that's a special verse to me. That's my confirmation verse. And if that doesn't mean something to you, when you confirm your faith, for us, it was around the eighth grade. The church generally, upon your confirmation, gives you a Bible verse. And mine was that version from Deuteronomy, not from Joshua. And I always felt, this just shows the ignorance of a 14-year-old. I always felt like that verse was like so applicable to me, because I always fancied myself to be a very strong and a very courageous individual. Like, the blessings that God gave me was strength and courage. And I will tell you, as a 14-year-old, I kind of knew that. And I would say that my ability to sit here on a radio show and talk to you is a culmination of a lot of courageous activity and strength of mind and of body that has gotten me this far in my career. But in my life, I've experienced deep valleys, significant struggles, things that made me look to God and say, "Where are you at, man? I feel like I'm doing a pretty good job here. I'm going to church. I'm raising my family in a way that I think glorifies you. It feels like I'm doing everything right here. Where are you? What are you doing?" We can go back to Minneapolis a week ago, or 2 weeks ago, whenever that was. And you hear the voices of people on the ground saying, "Thoughts and prayers? They were praying in a church. What more do you want your prayers to do?" And you know what? It's come to me in the last 24 hours that I think they were right about the thoughts and prayers. Saying thoughts and prayers is not enough. It's not enough to see tragedies like this happen, to see people sitting in a pew at church, going to school, worshiping their Heavenly Father, getting picked off in a pew. And it's also not right for people to be sitting in a university, the place in our country that is supposed to welcome the greatest dissent, the safest place to have differing opinions. Our university system is where we're supposed to forge people's intellect and curiosity. And that is the epicenter of what Charlie Kirk was doing there at a university, trying to stoke these conversations. So you have to ask yourself, when you hear people say thoughts and prayers, is that enough? It's not enough, folks. You want to know why? Because thoughts and prayers is a saying. How many times are there actual prayers that follow the comment, the consolation of telling someone, "You're in my thoughts, you're in my prayers"? How often is it followed up with action that includes prayer? Like, you set your whole life aside for a minute, for 10 minutes, for however long it takes, and you say, "I'm giving this time to God, it's His to begin with, and I'm asking for some sense and some clarity." The same message that comes to us from these people on the ground who, in the wake of that shooting in that school in Minneapolis, are saying, "Where are your prayers at now?" I want to tell you right now that you have a choice of what to do next. Charlie Kirk lived a life that before a single political word entered and exited his mouth, he talked about belonging to Jesus. That's his legacy. That was his purpose. An undeniable purpose that he prioritized above all else. It might be a conservative, card-carrying Republican thing to be like, God, family, country, but Charlie Kirk was the manifestation of God, family, country. He glorified God in what he did. He rooted his purpose in his faith. He raised his family to be in the shadow of a God-fearing father who spoke boldly about his faith. That's action. That's turning point action for people. That's an actual movement. It's not a political phrase to say. That's the essence that we can learn from Charlie. I don't know if people feared his faith or his politics more, but I know that he said himself he wanted to be remembered for his courageous faith. The Bible verse says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." And the funniest thing about this is, you know, me being a 14-year-old girl at confirmation going, oh, this Bible verse is about me and how strong and courageous Annie is. What a dummy I was in my youth and far into my adulthood, because it took me to face struggles to see the very beginning of that verse. The part that I conveniently skipped over, and I will say as a parent, it reflected greatly with my understanding of what God was saying in that moment. The first thing he says is, "Have I not commanded you?" Which means when he's talking to his people, he's saying what I have said as a parent over and over and over. How many times do I have to tell you? Is that not the most relatable thing as a parent, or as a teacher, or as a coach, or as somebody who is imploring upon the people who are in your charge? Here's what you got to do. You got to trust me, because I know how to get you from point A to point B. And it's almost as if God's a little frustrated with, gosh, these humans. They think that they got to figure it out themselves again. They're trying to make sense of it all themselves again. Have I not commanded you? And then he says to be strong and courageous. After he kind of does the little smacking us around thing, where he's like, guys, listen to me. I'm still the God of the universe. I'm as omnipotent now as I was then. The struggles, these hardships, these are things of the world. But I've got you. How many times do I have to tell you? You still have the ability to be strong. You still have the ability to have courage. I can't think of a more appropriate modern day apostle than Charlie Kirk.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
To bring that message to God's people. And I posted this yesterday, and I'm going to say it here again today. Charlie talked about Jesus everywhere he went. There's going to be a lot of talk about this controversial firebrand figure in Charlie Kirk. Folks, he was the nice one. He was the nicest of us. He went to places that disagreed with him, and he said, I'd like to talk to you. I'd like to listen to you. And he talked about Jesus. So when you talk about Charlie, talk about Jesus. When you think about Charlie, think about what he went to his grave proclaiming. Think about what he told us through interviews and podcasts that he was on. What he wanted to be remembered by. It wasn't getting Donald Trump elected, which I think he did. It was about being remembered for his courageous faith. And I think there is a huge hole left in his vacancy here on Earth. But I can't help but imagine if that was truly his priority, what a great day today is for Charlie Kirk. And you can't understand that. You can't fathom that with our earthly minds. But when you understand the conviction and the truth that exists in the words that he said about his faith in Christ, and that he wasn't body and bones, he was a soul. That soul is home now. Too soon for our liking, but how many times do I have to tell you? You still are tasked with being strong and being courageous and carrying on, pressing on towards the goal. We have a huge task ahead of us, and I think that our country is in a turning point, yes, which has been repeated many times in the last 24 hours. I know you're looking at your feeds. I know you're seeing comments. I know you're disgusted and you're repulsed. But there are so many people coming into the foreground right now saying the right things. People who you wouldn't expect saying the right things. Choose where you give your energy. Choose how you use your action. And don't forget to be active. Let's talk to Hans von Spakovsky next.
This is the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
The horror and grief. So many Americans at the heinous assassination of Charlie Kirk have felt. Charlie was a giant of his generation, a champion of liberty, and an inspiration to millions and millions of people. Our prayers are with his wonderful wife, Eric, and his beautiful children. Fantastic people they are. We miss him greatly, yet I have no doubt that Charlie's voice and the courage he put into the hearts of countless people, especially young people, will live on. I'm pleased to announce that I will soon be awarding Charlie Kirk posthumously the Presidential Medal of Freedom. The date of the ceremony will be announced, and I can only guarantee you one thing, that we will have a very big crowd.
President Trump speaking today from the Pentagon acknowledgement, the memorial for September 11th. Welcome into the Annie Fry Show. The last time I was able to speak to you, we had to send it to breaking news coverage as we watched and waited to see what happened to Charlie Kirk. Now, I'll tell you, when we're putting together a show every day is kind of its own thing. We wait for the news cycle to come through. But September 11th is a little bit different than other days. September 11th, you got a pin in that day because there's a responsibility for people like me and there's a responsibility for people like you to put that pin on your calendar on September 11th. And nobody listening right now needs to be told that. But I have an expectation that when you turn into 97.1, that you're going to connect hearts and minds with the folks here, and we're going to do that with you over a day like September 11th. It was a transformative day for our country. There's no denying that. And I'm raising children who ask me questions each year. They kind of sit down and they look at me and they're like, what was that like? It's a history story for them. It's something they've been told about. It's something they've seen in videos on the internet. I can tell that my children understand there is an emotion attached to this day that exceeds the emotions attached to others. So we plan a show a little bit ahead of time. We're aware that this day is coming. And yesterday, all those plans end up changing. When we signed off yesterday at 3 o'clock, they had just come out with the news that Charlie Kirk at the time essentially was in critical condition. And it was about 30 minutes later when they pronounced him dead. So we have to ask ourselves, what now? I think that's the question that most of us have. And I talk about fear in the sense of an emotional experience. Fear exists the most and the strongest when we are faced with unknown territory. When we can't really look back on precedent and precedent and precedent to say, well, this happened, and so now naturally that and that and that will happen. I don't know what happens next. There was a period of time while we were watching, waiting to find out what happened to Charlie, where you're kind of flooded with all of the thoughts, the considerations of what one man can do, what one man has done, and you know, you boil it all down to what one man is. It's very eye-opening, breathtaking to look at the magnitude of who Charlie Kirk was, to understand what kind of influence he's had on the world. I'm not talking American politics, I'm talking the world, at 31 years of age. And to know in that moment when we're watching what happens, when we get to see the absolute manifestation of evil unfold right in front of our eyes in a horrific way. It's unbelievable to witness something like that, to know the gravity of who Charlie Kirk has been in this world, and to understand that at the end, it really boils down to his wife and his children. His wife and his children were what he championed here on Earth, just short of one other thing, his faith. There was a Bible verse that was posted yesterday. Jack Posobiec, who very close personal friends with Charlie Kirk, posted the "Be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." And that's a special verse to me. That's my confirmation verse. And if that doesn't mean something to you, when you confirm your faith, for us, it was around the eighth grade. The church generally, upon your confirmation, gives you a Bible verse. And mine was that version from Deuteronomy, not from Joshua. And I always felt, this just shows the ignorance of a 14-year-old. I always felt like that verse was like so applicable to me, because I always fancied myself to be a very strong and a very courageous individual. Like, the blessings that God gave me was strength and courage. And I will tell you, as a 14-year-old, I kind of knew that. And I would say that my ability to sit here on a radio show and talk to you is a culmination of a lot of courageous activity and strength of mind and of body that has gotten me this far in my career. But in my life, I've experienced deep valleys, significant struggles, things that made me look to God and say, "Where are you at, man? I feel like I'm doing a pretty good job here. I'm going to church. I'm raising my family in a way that I think glorifies you. It feels like I'm doing everything right here. Where are you? What are you doing?" We can go back to Minneapolis a week ago, or 2 weeks ago, whenever that was. And you hear the voices of people on the ground saying, "Thoughts and prayers? They were praying in a church. What more do you want your prayers to do?" And you know what? It's come to me in the last 24 hours that I think they were right about the thoughts and prayers. Saying thoughts and prayers is not enough. It's not enough to see tragedies like this happen, to see people sitting in a pew at church, going to school, worshiping their Heavenly Father, getting picked off in a pew. And it's also not right for people to be sitting in a university, the place in our country that is supposed to welcome the greatest dissent, the safest place to have differing opinions. Our university system is where we're supposed to forge people's intellect and curiosity. And that is the epicenter of what Charlie Kirk was doing there at a university, trying to stoke these conversations. So you have to ask yourself, when you hear people say thoughts and prayers, Is that enough? It's not enough, folks. You want to know why? Because thoughts and prayers is a saying. How many times are there actual prayers that follow the comment, the consolation of telling someone, you're in my thoughts, you're in my prayers? How often is it followed up with action that includes prayer? Like you set your whole life aside for a minute, for 10 minutes, for however long it takes, and you say, I'm giving this time to God, it's His to begin with, and I'm asking for some sense and some clarity. The same message that comes to us from these people on the ground who, in the wake of that shooting in that school in Minneapolis, are saying, where are your prayers at now? I want to tell you right now that you have a choice of what to do next. Charlie Kirk lived a life that before a single political word entered and exited his mouth, he talked about belonging to Jesus. That's his legacy. That was his purpose. An undeniable purpose that he prioritized above all else. It might be a conservative, card-carrying Republican thing to be like, God, family, country, but Charlie Kirk was the manifestation of God, family, country. He glorified God in what he did. He rooted his purpose in his faith. He raised his family to be in the shadow of a God-fearing father who spoke boldly about his faith. That's action. That's turning point action for people. That's an actual movement. It's not a political phrase to say. That's the essence that we can learn from Charlie. I don't know if people feared his faith or his politics more, but I know that he said himself he wanted to be remembered for his courageous faith. The Bible verse says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And the funniest thing about this is, you know, me being a 14-year-old girl at confirmation going, oh, this Bible verse is about me and how strong and courageous Annie is. What a dummy I was in my youth and far into my adulthood, because it took me to face struggles to see the very beginning of that verse. The part that I conveniently skipped over, and I will say as a parent, it reflected greatly with my understanding of what God was saying in that moment. The first thing he says is, have I not commanded you? Which means when he's talking to his people, he's saying what I have said as a parent over and over and over. How many times do I have to tell you? Is that not the most relatable thing as a parent, or as a teacher, or as a coach, or as somebody who is imploring upon the people who are in your charge? Here's what you got to do. You got to trust me, because I know how to get you from point A to point B. And it's almost as if God's a little frustrated with, gosh, these humans. They think that they got to figure it out themselves again. They're trying to make sense of it all themselves again. Have I not commanded you? And then he says to be strong and courageous. After he kind of does the little smacking us around thing, where he's like, guys, listen to me. I'm still the God of the universe. I'm as omnipotent now as I was then. The struggles, these hardships, these are things of the world, but I've got you. How many times do I have to tell you? You still have the ability to be strong. You still have the ability to have courage. I can't think of a more appropriate modern day apostle than Charlie Kirk to bring that message to God's people. And I posted this yesterday, and I'm going to say it here again today. Charlie talked about Jesus everywhere he went. There's going to be a lot of talk about this controversial firebrand figure in Charlie Kirk. Folks, he was the nice one. He was the nicest of us. He went to places that disagreed with him, and he said, I'd like to talk to you. I'd like to listen to you. And he talked about Jesus. So when you talk about Charlie, talk about Jesus. When you think about Charlie, think about what he went to his grave proclaiming. Think about what he told us through interviews and podcasts that he was on.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What he wanted to be remembered by. It wasn't getting Donald Trump elected, which I think he did. It was about being remembered for his courageous faith. And I think there is a huge hole left in his vacancy here on Earth, but I can't help but imagine if that was truly his priority, what a great day today is for Charlie Kirk. And you can't understand that. You can't fathom that with our earthly minds. But when you understand the conviction and the truth that exists in the words that he said about his faith in Christ and that he wasn't body and bones. He was a soul. That soul is home now. Too soon for our liking. But how many times do I have to tell you? You still are tasked with being strong and being courageous and carrying on. Pressing on towards the goal. We have a huge task ahead of us, and I think that our country is in a point, a turning point, yes, which has been repeated many times in the last 24 hours. I know you're looking at your feeds. I know you're seeing comments. I know you're disgusted and you're repulsed. But there are so many people coming into the foreground right now saying the right things. People who you wouldn't expect saying the right things. Choose where you give your energy. Choose how you use your action. And don't forget to be active. Let's talk to Hans von Spakovsky next. Welcome back to The Annie Fry Show. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. It is September 11th, and there's certainly a host of things that we should and will be doing to memorialize this day. But of course, we are also in the wake of the execution, the assassination of Charlie Kirk, which took place about this time yesterday. We're coming upon the 24-hour mark. We got reports of this happening in the middle of our 1 o'clock hour here. I was actually on the phone talking with Congressman Mike Bost. And, you know, sometimes things like that will come through. Sometimes things like that will pop up in, and it's a rumor. You know, we hear about rumors all the time of celebrities passing away, and then you see the celebrities like, hi guys, I'm still here. So I never want to go straight to air with something like that. And then the Daily Mail reported on it, and it started to catch wind, and I don't know that we are culturally, I don't know as a society that we are really made to consume this much information, to consume this much data about an event like this. I think that I have what I would refer to as an insatiable need for information. If it's information, I want it. If it's information that doesn't seem like it'd be useful to me right now, guess what? It might be useful to me in the future, and I want to learn it, file it away. I'm good at studying things, learning things, filing them away, and waiting for them to be useful later. So in a day like today, and I would imagine most of you, I'm seeing a lot of comments right now on the live chat. Join us on YouTube if you want to be around some people who care about the same things today. I did not sleep well last night. In fact, I went to bed. My husband made my favorite meal, which is a roast.
That's a good husband.
Yeah, he's the best. We have, like, my daughter and I, my oldest daughter and I have a thing at home that when dad makes a roast, he's probably in trouble. It's like, oh, it's a roast. What'd you do, dad? Which is an exaggeration. But it's what Jared does to make me happy.
Yeah.
So
it's sweet.
Yes. But my grandma that I was very close to, who passed away in 2020, used to make this, and it reminds me of her. Mashed potatoes, a roast, peas, and gravy. And that's the order you put it in a pile on your
Next
plate.
Next time you're mad at him, can you let me know so I can come over?
You want to start something in my house?
Wait, you're mad?
No.
You're mad at Jared?
No.
I'm coming over.
That's a little bit of an exaggeration, but when he makes it to make me happy. And I took like 3 bites of it. I'm like, I can't do this. I feel sick. And I eventually went upstairs. You know, the Evelyn comes up to my room and she goes, Mom, can we watch The West Wing tonight as a family? And I'm like, I think it's a great idea. Because I left here, like you, Brad and Ethan, you guys probably did this. Ryan's got a couple days off. I didn't unplug a minute of it. Like I was on my phone, just refresh, scroll for 45 seconds, refresh, because I wanted to know the latest thing. And there was a part of my, I actually had the thought, like, Annie, you have to stop. Like, there's no end. There's not something that I'm trying. You know, I did want to know that they caught the guy. Mm-hmm. So there was a finality to that. But guess what? When I find out that they caught the guy, I'm going to want to know about the guy. I'm going to want to know everything that there is to know about the guy. The FBI today has released photos trying to find to get his location, to be able to apprehend him. There are reports, Fox News reports, that there were inscriptions on the casings, the bullets, the one that was used, because I think the shell was still in the gun. Is that right? Because there's a muzzleloader, and there were other rounds that were there that had inscriptions on it. Fox News, I don't think, has reported this specifically, but everybody else is reporting that the inscriptions have to do with social issues, the transgender community. I would like to wait to see that to be fully confirmed before I'm willing to do it. But I cover news for a living, and I was nauseated last night. You said, Ethan, yesterday was a hard day for you. You're a little bit fresher into the news world of this. You're a sports guy. I think your reflection on being in the thick of it is going to resonate quite a lot with the people who are listening to the show right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I had just had a conversation on Tuesday night with my best friend regarding following just our coverage of the horrors that occurred in Charlotte, the Ukrainian woman, Irina, mm-hmm. I believe was her name. And you want to have some sort of justification for why bad things happen. It's natural.
An explanation. Yeah.
And there's not. There's no reason. There's no reason why, except for that it's pure evil. And I think that in this season, you know, you mentioned the Minneapolis shooting just a couple of weeks ago occurring. You want to have understanding and reasoning as to why these terrible things happen, and there's not. And it's really hard, especially in our business. You know, there's a lot of days where it is absolutely amazing to be able to relay the information to the people. What a joyful night it was to be able to be here when Donald Trump got elected president.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's also horrible days that you'll never forget, like yesterday, where this is the place, the one place like you don't want to be, where you just want to be able to process
it
how
here.
You want to, and you can't. And speaking on telling yourself that you want to get away from it. Man, I had so much conviction last night. And Ethan, you have to turn it off. You have to turn it off. And everything in me just, I can't. It just feels so important that it almost felt like a responsibility that I had to be around what was going on.
Endure
or at
it.
Least hearing the tributes and the many messages and the how Charlie Kirk impacted so many people, so many more people than you would have initially thought about. As you said, I'm a sports guy. There was Cardinals baseball going on. There's going to be Thursday night football tonight. I don't know how, but all of it feels so small compared to what is happening right now. And it just felt wrong to pay attention to anything else last night besides
the bittersweet gift, though, in that, Ethan, is what you're talking about is perspective. When you're talking about following a sports team and it feels small, that doesn't make it unimportant. Because we live in a country where we're supposed to be able to consume these things. We're supposed to get joy from these things. And some of the joy is in watching your fantasy player go up there and have a shot at winning it. Maybe they do, maybe they don't, and maybe you win, maybe you don't, or maybe it's the Cardinals or whatever it is. Like, there is joy in that participation, and mm-hmm. that is not insignificant.
Absolutely not.
But kind of like what I was saying at the beginning of the show, of all of the things that Charlie Kirk was to you and to me and to us and to the people listening here, to the country, to the president, to the world, of all of the things that he was the world to his family. And that is irreplaceable. There are, it warms my heart to think about this, young men and women all across the country that they're not going to be the next Charlie Kirk because there will be only one. But what he's been able to do with the youth in our country and what he has spurred forward right now might be immeasurable. And that matters. I can't spend the first 24, 48 hours of this lamenting the future of the Republican Party or the conservative movement. I'm just thinking about those two kids and his wife.
Mm-hmm. And that's the hardest part of it all, right? There's so many horrors, absolute horrors around all of this. The thing that kept getting me last night is when I would see images of Erica or his children or video, the Fox
the
and Friends video where
family.
his sweet toddler running to him on set. And those are the hardest parts because, you know, am I sad that Charlie's life was robbed on Earth here? Absolutely. But I'm joyful for Charlie celebrating with the King of all Kings right now. I mean, I'm joyful in that sense. But my heart absolutely breaks for his family, knowing that his kids will never be able to see their father again, that his wife will never be able to kiss her husband. And it's one of those things you go back to, why? And yeah. It's nothing but pure evil.
All right, let's take a break. Ethan's filling in for Ryan, who's on a couple day vacation with his buddies. So we'll have Wiggins America, Ethan version next.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
Not Wiggins America, Ethan's America.
Isn't it great how Ryan leaves his fingerprints all over the show when he takes time off?
No, Annie, no? It's not great.
It's kind of funny.
Whatever.
That's an epic intro.
Well, here's the thing, is that he very much so gets to control the mood in which he sets for me.
Yeah.
And he constantly sets it bad, which makes it turn into me just aggression towards him. That's basically what it turns into.
He asks for it, that's for sure.
He sure does. Well, you know, I think I say this probably every other time that I end up filling in for Ryan. It's really not Wiggins America. Food isn't involved in some sort of way. Mm-hmm. We know Ryan loves his food. Ryan also loves you. He cares for the people. And we're going to tell you about some foods that you should never eat after they expire. We're going to go ahead and...
I would say... All. No foods.
Well, here's why it's not a flat out everything.
Best Buy?
That is one of the reasons. Yes.
Sell by?
The director of the Center for Agriculture and Food Systems at a law school in the country is one of the people that is quoted throughout this article, which is by Yahoo, by the way. Also Wiggins style, talks about how it's very confusing because the expiration dates don't really mean a lot regarding food. And what is even more confusing is that the expiration dates are written in different ways on the labels. As you mentioned, Annie, best before, sell by. There's several different things that don't
necessarily...
Yeah, you
got to think if you can sell it by
clear.
Something,
yeah.
It's still going to be good for a few days.
Sure.
At minimum.
So it doesn't necessarily make it clear. But that said, some foods are at a higher risk of losing quality or carrying, you know, harmful pathogens. You don't need to obey every Best Buy date, it says, but there are several foods that experts say you should skip once they pass their date. The first one is infant formula. Federal law doesn't require food manufacturers to provide expiration dates except when it comes to infant formula, which I thought was interesting. I did not know that. After the expiration date, nutrient levels drop. They may drop, which is a problem, according to the Food and Safety and Inspection Service.
I was told, you probably got medications on here maybe, but I was told when I worked in a pharmacy that expired medications, like if you're going to take an Excedrin that is... if you're going to take an Excedrin that is expired, that it usually just is not any longer the strength that is indicated on the bottle. It doesn't necessarily go bad, but dosing becomes a challenge. That's what I was told by a pharmacist.
It never becomes stronger, though, right?
I don't think so.
Like all of a sudden I'm taking a Tylenol,
Tylenol Plus.
One of them is the equivalent of four now?
Yeah. My question was like, is this going to hurt me? And they're like, no, if anything, it's just not going to get rid of your headache as much as it would have. So. What else you got?
That's fair enough. Okay. The next one is meat. Ground beef, steak, chicken. It says can sometimes be safe to eat after the use-by date,
but no. You
got to be extra cautious. This is the one to me. I'm like, ugh. Even when I, you know, maybe I make my lunch for the next day or something and I leave out my lunch meat for a couple of hours, I'm like, ugh, I think I might be done with that one.
That's how touchy
I am with
I'm
meat.
I'm out, yeah.
Not a big fan of that. Other ones on the list include eggs, which I feel like eggs are never around in my house long enough to even expire. Soft cheeses.
Yeah.
There's nothing more disgusting than mold on cheese.
Yeah.
Blue cheese?
Oh, God.
Delicious.
I like blue cheese.
Gross. Deli meat. Thank you. That one's another one on there. You guys ever heard of fiddleheads?
No.
No idea what a fiddlehead is. It doesn't tell me in the article. It just says that
would last forever.
These tightly coiled asparagus-like ferns.
Oh, I think I know what that is.
Sounds like something Ryan would eat.
No, it sounds no. green. It sounds like a vegetable.
Yeah.
Unless it's like a green jelly bean or something. All right, we're going to continue to keep close to the developing story in the wake of seeking out the assassin of Charlie Kirk. You're in the right place. Keep it here on 97.1.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.